This is presentation number 18 in the New Beginning series titled The Battle for the Throne. Now, the purpose of this presentation is to show that through the rise and fall of empires, through the political attempts to destroy God's kingdom, and through the spiritual attempts to deceive God's people, that God's people will ultimately triumph in the judgment. This presentation is placed here at number 18 for a specific reason. What it does is it shows that down through the ages, kingdoms have risen and fallen. Babylon has risen and fallen. Medo-Persia has risen and fallen. Greece, Rome, a little horn power has grown up out of Rome. And it shows that these kingdoms, either through political attempts to destroy God's people or through religious political unions to deceive God's people, have failed. That ultimately in the judgment, in the final analysis, God's plan, God's people, and God's truth will triumph. And so this sermon does not identify the little horn as the papacy. That comes in the next sermon. And it doesn't attempt to do too much with the change of the Sabbath and the mark of the beast. We will get into that in subsequent sermons. This whole sermon is more of a transitionary sermon that kind of sets the tone for the rise of the little horn, the identification of the papacy, and the mark of the beast, which are coming. So it's called The Battle for the Throne, Sermon Number 18, World History Revealed. Before you read a book, you probably want to know something about the author. You want to know about who read the book. You want to know what sort of person he was. Sometimes a friend or neighbor might recommend the book. Don't you usually take into consideration what sort of books appeal to that friend or neighbor before you buy it? It's really nice to have a dear friend recommend a good book for you to read, and our dearest friend recommended a particular book. Who's our dearest friend, everybody? Who is that? Jesus. And what book did Jesus recommend for us to read? Here's your first text, and it is critical because it sets the tone. Do you know that there is only one book in the entire Bible that Jesus himself says for us to read, to know, to study, and to understand? Here it is, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Jesus says to read and understand the book of what? Daniel. Tonight, we're going to open up the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at the great prophecy of Daniel, the seventh chapter. So now notice where we've come. The reason for the opening illustration about a friend recommending a book is to take us into the idea that Jesus recommends the book of Daniel. Why do we read Matthew 24, verse 15 first? Because many people are thinking, well, why go back and study Daniel? Why study that old book written 600 years before Christ? It's irrelevant. But if Jesus said, read and understand Daniel, it must not be irrelevant. It must be extremely important. So we go to the book of Daniel, and we go particularly to chapter 7. Now, this whole sermon is on Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to look at Daniel 7, just some of the key parts, and come down to the appeal of Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7 describes four beasts. And as we go through the subject of the battle of the throne, starting with page 3 in your manual, we describe those beasts. The first beast is like a what? Lion with eagle's wings. The second beast, bottom of page 3, is a bear that has three ribs in its mouth. The fourth beast is like a leopard that has four heads and wings on its back. That's the third beast. The fourth beast is like a great, dreadful beast with iron teeth. And this beast, a large dragon-like beast, strides through the land, killing, destroying everything in its power and pathway. It has actually 10 horns. Now, as we go to the explanation of these beasts, we start on page 5 of the explanation of the beast. The first beast is like a lion with eagle's wings. Now, interestingly enough, what better beast could represent Babylon? Just like the first metal, the head of gold, represented Babylon, the first beast, the lion with eagle's wings, represented Babylon. Let me tell you some interesting things, and you'll want to note them as you preach this sermon on the bottom of page 5 and over onto page 6. If you would go to the Pergamum Museum in Berlin today, East Berlin, you would notice glazed tile walls that the Germans excavated from Babylon. Babylon, it was in Iraq, about 150 miles south of Baghdad. The tiles on the original walls of Babylon, the blue glazed tiles, have been steamed off. When I visited the Pergamum Museum in East Berlin, I marveled, because as I looked at the reconstructed walls with the original tile, a lion with eagle's wings. Do you know that on the coins of Babylon, they had a lion with eagle's wings? There was a great basalt, or rock statue, lion with eagle's wings. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah talks about Babylon as a lion with eagle's wings. You will find that in Jeremiah 4, verse 7, on page 6. So a lion with eagle's wings is a common symbol of Babylon. We go over here to the next beast. After the lion with eagle's wings, we come to the bear with three ribs in its mouth. Incidentally, the bear does what on what's one side, everybody? What does the bear do on one side? Lifts itself up. The nation of Media and Persia attacked Babylon. But Persia dominated Media, so Persia is like the bear that lifted itself up on one side. What does the bear have in its mouth? What does it have in its mouth? Three what? Does anybody know? Three ribs. When Medo-Persia overthrew Babylon, it had to overthrow Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt to dominate the world. Hence, Medo-Persia is pictured like a bloodthirsty bear with three ribs in its mouth, Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. Isn't Bible prophecy accurate? But Babylon wouldn't rule forever, Babylon fell. Babylon fell to Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia fell, and we're on pages 8 and 9 of our script. Medo-Persia fell. And who did Medo-Persia fall to? Well, Daniel 7 and verse 6 says, lo, another like a what? Leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl and had four heads. So there was a leopard-like beast that rose that overthrew Babylon, rather, that overthrew Medo-Persia. What do you know about a leopard? Is a leopard a slow animal or a fast animal? A leopard's a fast animal, but if you wanted to describe swiftness, you'd use a leopard, right? But if you wanted to describe something that was really fast, what would you do? You'd put wings on the back of your leopard. Indeed, God put wings on the back of his leopard, so it swiftly conquered the world under Alexander the Great in Greece, and four nations came up out of Greece, the four empires of Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. That's Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, Seleucus. They were the four heads. We're on page 9, bottom. Now, the reason I mention that is this. Bible prophecy is fantastically accurate. Greece is pictured as a leopard that conquers the world quickly. When Alexander the Great died at 33 years old, he had four generals, Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, Seleucus, that would rule the world. Indeed, these prophecies have been fulfilled exactly. But Babylon wouldn't rule forever. Medo-Persia wouldn't rule forever. Greece wouldn't rule forever, because at the end of the Greek Empire, there is a cruel, vicious power that arises. And who overthrew the Greeks? The Romans. It's at this point that another power is introduced. It is called the Little Horn Power. We describe that on page 11 and page 12. This little horn rises. It has the eyes like the eyes of a man. Lives for 1,260 years. It attempts to cast God's truth down to the ground, and look at Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 7 and verse 25. What does this little horn power do? Daniel 7 and verse 25. Now, this little horn power grows out of Rome. This little horn power is based on the eyes of a man. Eyes are a symbol of human wisdom. This little horn power is based on human wisdom. It's a false counterfeit religious system. We'll identify it later in our lectures. Now notice, teachers, we don't identify it. We just simply say it grows out of Rome. It grows up in the early centuries. It has eyes like the eyes of a man. It has human wisdom. And it says, Daniel 7, verse 25, he'll speak pompous words. It's a very proud power, very arrogant power against the Most High. He persecutes the saints of the Most High, so it persecutes during the Middle Ages. He intends or thinks to change the times in God's law. So this power tries to change the very law of God. What happens? Babylon rises and falls and fades away. Medo-Persia rises and falls and fades away. Greece rises and falls and fades away. Rome rises and falls and fades away. A little horn power arises, tries to change God's law, forms a human confederacy, a political religious alliance. But what happens? One of the most exciting verses in the Bible. Our eyes now are turned from earth to heaven. And in Daniel 7, verse 9. Daniel 7 and verse 9. Babylon is gone. Medo-Persia is gone. Greece is gone. Rome is gone. The little horn power has tried to corrupt the truth. But the Bible says in Daniel 7 and verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. And his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand upon thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books are open. The judgment scene occurs, and in the judgment, the destinies of the entire human race are settled. In the judgment, the kingdom is not given to Medo-Persia. It's not given to Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, or Rome. In the judgment, there's not a little horn that triumphs. In a judgment, Jesus Christ triumphs, and he gives his kingdom to the saints of God, the believers who've clung to the truth. Babylon has tried to destroy the truth. Medo-Persia tried to destroy the truth. Greece has tried to destroy the truth. Rome has tried to destroy the truth. A little horn power has compromised the truth and persecuted God's people. But in the end, in the judgment, God wins and Satan loses. Page 17, bottom. Daniel 7, verse 18. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We are living in a time of Earth's history where God's truth is going to triumph. Notice, page 18, here's the appeal. God's people in Israel were led into captivity in Babylon. They looked grim, but God was still in control. He said, kings and princes may come and go, but I'm in control. Empires rise and fall. But God says, my children, I haven't forgotten you. I am in control. Kingdoms have come and gone. The beasts have risen and fallen. An antichrist power, a little horn power, has tried to change God's law. But God says, in the final analysis, truth will triumph. In the final analysis, God's word will triumph. In the final analysis, God's people will triumph. In the final analysis, God's kingdom will triumph. You cannot destroy God's truth or God's kingdom. And I want to triumph with it. What do you say? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight that your kingdom is going to triumph. We thank you that your plan is going to triumph. We thank you that you've called us to victory. Daniel 7 says Babylon will collapse. Daniel 7 says Medo-Persia will collapse. Daniel 7 says Greece will collapse. Daniel 7 says Rome will collapse. Daniel 7 says that all of the human religious confederacies that try to destroy truth will fail. But in the judgment, the kingdom will be given to the saints and God's people will triumph. And Lord, tonight, if we know our hearts, we want to triumph with it. In Christ's name, amen. You come to the end of this sermon and you make a strong appeal that men and women can be on the winning side, that no matter how strong the battle is in their life, no matter how strong the battle is between Christ and Satan, they can be winners. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome didn't triumph. God's plan did. The little horn power that's tried to change the truth won't triumph. God's plan will. And friend of mine, lay preacher, you, through the power of God, are going to see mighty triumphs and great victories in your evangelistic system series, because God is on the winning side, and when we're on his side, we too are on the winning side. Victory, triumph for the kingdom of God is the theme of number 18, Battle for the Throne.